Good morning, church. That's exactly where we're going to pick up today. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It is the birthday for the church. And that's where the story is, right there in Acts chapter 2, exactly what we just saw via the Bible Project. Again, if you want help getting into the Word, open up the Bible Project videos, see what it's all about. Let those help you become a launch pad into living life in the Word. And so there's that commercial, but we're going to jump back into Acts chapter 2 because we just left off the video there where Peter is now standing up to address the crowd. And so we were in Acts chapter 1 last week and the idea that Jesus ascended into heaven, but he told them to wait for the promise that the Father was sending. And so they went to Jerusalem to wait, not knowing what was going to happen. And right here in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon them and delivers to them what appears to be tongues of flaming fire, giving them the ability to speak in other tongues. And so they're speaking the languages of those who are in Jerusalem who had come from far off, and they're starting to hear the good news of Jesus in their own language. And that's where we're going to pick up here in just a minute. But I want to tell you a story this morning to talk about Pentecost and to talk about this story out of Acts chapter 2. Something happened to me last week, really through the wisdom of a very innocent, very loving fifth grader. One of the greatest joys I have at Centerpoint is to work with our fourth and fifth graders. So important, church, for us to be investing in the generations that are coming after us. I hope on some level you can identify one way, at least significant, that you're investing in the generations that are coming after us as it relates to the life of our church. And one of the ways that I get to do that along with my wife and some others is Club 45, our fourth and fifth graders. And I was having a conversation with one of our Club 45ers this week, and again, totally innocent. But I got to tell you, he said something to me that made me feel like a complete idiot. He said something to me that made me feel like I still have so far to go in my journey of life and my walk with Christ. He said something to me that made me feel like my dreams are so small. And I got to tell you, it's become a catalyst of growth for me even since last Saturday when he said it to me. I want to tell that story to you in just a minute, but before we do, I want us to pick up in this passage here, Acts 2, beginning at verse 12. So right before Peter stands up to speak, and the word will be on your screen this morning. Let's read together. Acts 2, verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Meaning they're hearing the gospel. They're hearing about Jesus in their own native tongues from Galilean men, and they're now asking, "What does this mean?" Verse 13, some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." So Peter stood up, right? The leader of the group, the rock on which Jesus is going to build his church. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you," okay? So he's about to tell them what's happening. He's about to describe for them what the Holy Spirit is doing. "Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." That's where the video just left off, that Peter was going to stand up, open up the Hebrew Bible to explain what God had said and how it applied now to what was happening today. And here's where Peter starts. He starts with the prophet Joel. Verse 17, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood, fire, and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Center point, this is the word of the Lord. That's where Peter picks up on this day to try to explain to this crowd who was perplexed. They were amazed, maybe even confused about how these Galilean men were speaking in their own native tongues. And now they're hearing the good news about Jesus, stories they had never heard in their lives. And Peter starts off with this promise from the prophet Joel that in the last days, God says, I'm going to pour my Holy Spirit out on you, right? Your people will see visions. They will dream dreams, and something cool is going to happen as God starts to work through his people. Now, really what Jesus is wanting to happen at this point is exactly what he had already told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, that you'll wait for the promise that the Holy Spirit is coming, that when you receive the Holy Spirit, then you will start to tell the story of the love and the grace of God starting in Jerusalem. And then it'll make its way out into Judea. It'll make its way out into Samaria and then to the very ends of the earth. And, you know, one of the things we've talked about before at Center Point, this isn't new language. This isn't something I created. But one of the things we talk about at Center Point is this idea that Jesus is sending us. You know, as the church, we are the witnessing community to the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus and the hope that we can find in Jesus as we receive forgiveness of sins and start to walk in the way that he's called us. And the way that this thing happened was the Holy Spirit descended, entered into the lives of the disciples and the early apostles, and they started to speak. They started to proclaim this goodness. This was the birth of the church on Pentecost, and we celebrate it even today. Well, we talk, though, about the idea of our Jerusalem. You know, it's not uncommon for us to talk about the idea of being called to proclaim the goodness and the love of Jesus in Jerusalem in such a way that our Jerusalem is those we live closest to. Maybe Jerusalem is our home. Maybe Jerusalem is our community. It's our neighborhood. Maybe it's those we rub shoulders with at work or at school. We're called to proclaim the goodness of Jesus to those in our Jerusalem. But then in Judea, we're also called to focus in on our community and our city. Maybe even think about our state. How is Jesus calling us to be alive and telling the story of his good news outside of the parameters of our own little world? But then there's a third location that we're given to Samaria. Now, we won't go down this road too far this morning, but Samaria was not a place where Jews were welcomed. It was not a place that Jews wanted to go. It was, in fact, where their arch rivals lived. They were their enemies. And Jesus told the disciples, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to take the gospel to those that live closest to you. I want you to take the gospel to the immediate surrounding areas, your community, your city, maybe even your state. But I also want you to take the gospel into the lives of the people that you hate and that hate you. I don't mean specifically for the disciples of the apostles. I mean historically, take the gospel to those who historically have been your enemy. That was Samaria. But then something else happens. Jesus says, I want you to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So we can get our minds wrapped around this framework that we take the gospel to that which is closest to us. Maybe even get our minds wrapped around the idea that we take the gospel to that which is just outside of our framework. Maybe we start to struggle with the idea that we're called to take the gospel to those that culturally we've been taught to oppose, or that culturally we've been taught that they oppose us. But then something happens and Jesus says, I want you to take the gospel to the very ends of the earth. I doubt the disciples, these early apostles, even knew what that could have meant. They couldn't even fathom how large the world was. And Jesus is saying, on this day, I want the gospel to make its way around the world. If you're a believer today, if you're a follower of Christ today, you are direct proof of this proclamation being made by Jesus through his disciples. And now on the other side of the world today, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus that happened 2,000 years ago, because somewhere along the way, the disciples proclaimed the good news to someone who proclaimed the good news to someone who proclaimed the good news to someone who proclaimed the good news to someone. And somewhere throughout history, that gospel continued to make its way through individuals and through family units and through churches, and maybe one day it made its way to you. It made its way to me. And we celebrate the goodness and the grace of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection today, and the fact that Jesus is still wanting to utilize the church and the people who make up the church to proclaim his good news out in the world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. I realized this past week that my dreams are too small. Here's how it happened. Marley and I were sitting out on a picnic blanket about 3 weeks ago. Beautiful night out. The wind was blowing. The temperatures were right. And we're sitting out on a picnic blanket in our apartment community. And the girls were upstairs in the apartment hanging out. And we were just sitting down there talking. And Marley asked me the question. She said, "What's your perfect day?" Well, I started thinking about this idea of what my perfect day was, and it started with seeing some old family in South Carolina. But I realized that in order to describe my perfect day, truly, money was not going to be a problem, transportation was not going to be a problem. So I took it upon myself to have the liberty of all the money I needed to make the perfect day happen, and also the idea of transportation in a snap. And so here's what happened. I started out in South Carolina. Started out with some old friends and family there in South Carolina, but the next thing you knew, I was on a private jet. Perfect day, right? I was on a private jet, and I was headed to Green Bay, Wisconsin, where I was going to see my first ever Green Bay Packer football game. Perfect day. I was going to be in the crowd. Aaron Rodgers was going to lead the charge. We were going to win. It wasn't even going to be close. It's going to be a perfect day, probably against the Bears, but it was going to be a fun day. I was going to experience Green Bay, Wisconsin for the very first time, and from there, boom, private jet. We were going to be down in San Diego, and so I'm explaining my perfect day to Marley, and we're just laughing and getting a kick out of this thing, and we end up in San Diego, where we just visited last year for the first time, but had a great time. And next thing you know, we're on a beach in San Diego. We're hanging out. We're having burritos, and the weather's beautiful, and the sand is nice and cool, and there we were in San Diego enjoying what was going on, maybe even catching a baseball game in San Diego. But shortly after the game was over, we were going to, boom, hop back out on the jet. We were going to make our way up to Seattle. I've talked to you guys about this before. I know many of you don't even care. My favorite all-time band is a Christian hardcore band called Demon Hunter. I love them. I've seen them several times live, but I've never seen them in Seattle, which is where they make their home. And boom, I was going to end up in Seattle. And boom, Demon Hunter concert, perfect day, right? What could go wrong? South Carolina, Green Bay, Wisconsin, over to San Diego for burritos, up to Seattle for a concert, maybe a private concert, an interview, with the lead singer there. But it's just going to be the perfect day, but we weren't done yet. We were going to take advantage of the full 24-hour period. And so we make our way from Seattle back to Florida, where I'm reunited with my family, my daughters, and maybe close things out at Anna Maria Island, maybe at Ponce Inlet, depending on which has the better weather. And I'm walking through this, and Marley's just kind of laughing at me. She's like, yeah, money's not an object. Transportation's not a problem. And this is your perfect day, encapsulating the people you love, the foods you love, the hobbies you love. And so sure enough, we kind of sat there and just laughed our way through that idea of what my perfect day would look like. Now, what would be your perfect day? So we fast forward. It's last Saturday, and I'm actually here at the building with a few folks. We had gone out to do some presentations to some folks in the life of the church, and we came back to the building. And we're sitting out in the plaza, and there was a family sitting there with a fifth grader from our Club 45 group. And I know this kid so well. I love him. He's sharp. He's smart. He's sensitive. But he wasn't having a great day on this day, and he was kind of down. You know, it's like the kids that are ready to get out and go out into society and see their friends, and he had this opportunity, but now he's having to socially distance himself from others. And so sure enough, we're sitting there, and we're having to keep our distance and stuff, and I could tell he's not having a good day, so I started engaging him in conversation, and I asked him this question. Hey, what does your perfect day look like? He kind of hem-hawed around, and he literally said to me, "I don't know." I said, "Come on, man." I said, "Perfect day. Money's not an object. Money's no problem. All you need, all you want. Transportation's not a problem, not an object. You don't have to worry about it. You can go wherever you want to go, get there in a flash. Man, what's your perfect day like?" You see, the temptation even in that moment maybe was even to start to give him some hints. Let me tell you what my perfect day looked like. Started in South Carolina, went up to Green Bay, saw a game, over to San Diego for burritos, up to Seattle for a concert, you know, but I didn't do that. And I'm so glad that I didn't. This kid's sitting here, and I'm starting to try to pull answers out of him. What's your perfect day? If you could have any day. Money wasn't an object. Transportation wasn't an object. Your perfect day, what would it be? What could it be? After probably about 30 seconds of him just kind of sitting there thinking, I said, what's your perfect day? And I kid you not, a fifth grader from Centerpoint Community Church looked up at me and he said, my perfect day would probably be putting an end to childhood poverty around the world. And I got to tell you, in that moment, your pastor felt about that big. Putting an end to childhood poverty around the world would be his perfect day. The church, I don't want to get too down on myself today, and I don't want to get too far down on you this morning. But I got to tell you, something happened when he said that to me, because in that moment, it made me realize that I've got a long way to go in terms of my growth in Christ. I've got a long way to go as a 43-year-old now, as a pastor, as a husband, as a dad, as a son. I've got a long way to go in order to fully embrace the life that Jesus is calling me to. And I couldn't help but take his answer and lay it over this story in Acts chapter 2, that the gospel would make its way to the very ends of the earth. And the lament that I had on this day as I'm reflecting on what he said to me was this idea. Man, how do we turn our attention and our focus to the very ends of the earth if we haven't even turned our attention and our focus beyond ourselves? From the mouths of babes, from the mouths of the young, truth and wisdom might flow forth for us as adults and as a church to be able to learn and to glean and to grow into who God is calling us to be. And so we open up Acts chapter 2. Peter says, quoting the prophet Joel, in the last days, God says, I'll pour my spirit out on all people, even a fifth grader. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Man, that sounded like a worthy vision to follow after. It sounded like a vision consistent with what Jesus was calling the church to do and who Jesus was calling the church to be, to go out into the world and not live our perfect day from a very selfish, small-minded standpoint, but to live the perfect day as it relates to His kingdom making its way out into the world. Center point, what would your perfect day look like? On this Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the birth of the church. We celebrate the goodness of God through the Holy Spirit coming to us. But friends, may we continue to grow so that we can continue to go out into the world to do the things Jesus is calling us to do, to be who Jesus is calling us to be, even if it stretches us and pulls us apart from our own selfish whims and desires. I don't know what it looks like for you, but I know what it has looked like for me over the last week. It's led me into a new season of prayer of, oh God, will you open my eyes to see beyond myself? Will you open my eyes to even see beyond my own whims and my own hopes and my own dreams and my own desires? Help me to see beyond my perfect day so that I might see what you're calling me to be about as a part of your church body. Center point. So here we are, Pentecost Sunday, celebrating the birth of the church. And I just wanted to remind us today, we're called to go into our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the very ends of the earth, and to meet people at their point of need. And I want to thank Nathan Novak for reminding his pastor of that. And because he reminded me, Center Point, I don't want to remind you, we're called to live and move and serve outside of the four walls as the hands and feet of Jesus alive in the world today. May we not be close-minded, small-minded in this adventure. May we embrace all the goodness that God has for us and follow Him faithfully. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, have mercy on us. God, thank you so much for this truth, this innocent truth spoken by a fifth grader, Lord, to help me and to help us see the world differently. God, I pray that on this day, on this Pentecost Sunday, we don't allow ourselves to fall into the trap that your church is not on the move, or that your church is closed, or that your church is being ineffective. God, we know today that it's only the troubled mind that believes the enemy is winning. God, we know your Holy Spirit is moving and active. Your Holy Spirit is making its way into the lives of people just like us. God, to give us the ability to speak your truth, God, across cultures, across dividing lines, across barriers. And God, we know that the precursor of speaking your truth and love in the lives of others is living your truth and love in the lives of others. So God, help us to be able to take very seriously today our Jerusalem, those with whom we live the closest. God, help us to take very seriously our community in the city of Orlando. God, help us to be able to take very seriously, God, the realities of relationship that maybe historically have set themselves up as our enemies, or historically, culturally, we've set ourselves up as their enemies. God, break down those barriers. We know that those have no place within your kingdom. They have no place within your church. God, open up our eyes to a vision of your kingdom making its way to the very ends of the earth. God, clue us in today and every day into what your perfect day for us would be. So God, as a church, help us to grow outside of ourselves. Help us to mature outside of our childishness. And God, as we mature outside of our childishness, help us to embrace a childlike faith, hope, and confidence in you. God, thank you for a church that loves and invests in the younger generations. God, we realize today that our children, our teens, our college students, they're not the leaders of tomorrow. They are the leaders of today. They are the church of today. God, love them, embrace them, even through these uncertain times. And Lord, help us as a church, as a people, to open our eyes to your grace and your goodness and what it means for the world around us. We love you. We pray these things in your strong name. And the church said, amen.